of you online, good morning.
How's everybody doing? Okay, good to hear from both of you. How is everyone else doing? Good. A little update. Yesterday, Canada beat Great Britain in the curling. I know that is what we are all most excited to hear about. I have no other updates for you, but at least that gold is ours. All right? Cool. And welcome everybody online. Again, like Pastor Daniel said, if you're going back and forth, no spoilers, please. Don't reach out and let us know what's going on yet. But here we are. I'm Dan, and this is Jenica. And I grew up in Coburg, close by here. Jenica grew up in Ingersoll. And the last time I was here in this church, it was, I think, 1998. And I sat somewhere just over there from a friend's quiz meet when quizzing was happening here. So it's been a long time. And so thank you for having us back. This is great. I want to show a picture of some people who I know and I love. We've got a couple generations. That's my opa. There's my dad. There's me. And there's our son, Elliot. He is our oldest. And he's now 15 years old. I haven't changed one bit, which is really good to see. And then on the other side, we've got, this is Jenica's great-grandma, and Jenica's mom, and little tiny baby Jenica right there. today we want to talk about something that is really important on our hearts, and it's this. And just like we did with the kids and saying the big idea, maybe we can say this big idea together as well. Ready? One, two, three. The mission of God is a multi-generational endeavor. Exactly. So God's mission is always bigger than just one generation and one person. It is something that he invites us into, and it spans many generations. And so this is something that we deeply care about. It's not something that is just conceptual for us, but it is something that is very real in our stories.
Yes, very real, both because we have children that we want to learn to follow Jesus, and also because part of our job is to support the local church in raising up the next generation through Envision. So as Pastor Daniel already said, that takes the form of cross-cultural discipleship experiences, or you might hear the term short-term missions trips and internships and that sort of thing. So we really care about what does it look like for faith to get passed down from generation to generation. And as Dan said, not just conceptually, like this is in our family as well. So you're going to hear us today maybe not saying anything new. Maybe it's stuff that you have already thought about and you have already wrestled with. Just know that it is like what is currently part of what God is doing in our hearts as we are being parents and as we are working with Envision. So we want to share just this idea, anchor it in a story this morning. So we have been 2 terms in Mexico City. Before we were leaving, this is a picture from the day before we left. We went first to Costa Rica to learn Spanish for a year, and then we moved to Mexico City. So as we were preparing to go, as things started to get real, like we had been living in Halifax, both of us are from here in Ontario, so we like sold all of our stuff in Halifax, brought some stuff back to Ontario, spent some time with both of our families, we're no longer there, but we're not yet to where we are going. We're in this in-between time with our families, and it starts to get super real. And I started feeling really like, wow, I feel like God has called me to leave Canada and to go to the nations outside of Canada. That is something that I felt God calling me to, and that is a decision I made to obey. But that decision that I made is affecting my generations. That decision that I made is affecting my parents and my in-laws and my kids in a way that they did not choose. It was my choice. And I was feeling like really bleh about that, really just kind of gross about that. And we had the opportunity to go to the National Ministry Center for the Alliance. It's in Mississauga. For a prayer time. And during that prayer time, I don't remember if it's something that someone prayed or if it's something that God spoke to me during that prayer time. I don't really remember, but just what I remember coming out of that prayer time with is like, okay, God didn't just call me. He actually did call them. It was in a different way, but I have a calling to go, and they have a calling to send, and they have a calling to come with. So they're not just suffering the effects of my calling. God is actually inviting them into something, and they are responding to their own calling as well. And that really just reframed a lot for me, and was the beginning of this, okay, yeah, God's calling does affect generations. It is about more than just me. It's about the generations, but we think that that's actually by design.
So we read it already, but I want to read it again, that impactful passage in Psalms. And so if you're willing and able to read it out loud with us as we do this, that'd be awesome. So it says this, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works." Boom. "They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." This is not God's design. Right from the very beginning, that faith would be passed down from generations to generation to generation. Our faith moves through us. It does not just end with us. It doesn't terminate on us. But we have, Jenica wants to share a couple things, really important stuff.
Yes. So just as we were preparing, I just felt really conscious that as we're talking about faith being passed down through the generations, that there could be some voices of shame that would come up in the room. And so we just want to call out those voices of shame, just recognizing that, for instance, if you have been wrestling with an infertility journey, the talk of generations might feel like a sensitive subject. And we just want to say, when we're talking about generations, we don't just mean biological children and grandchildren. Our faith is actually meant to be, we are supposed to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and that is a generational thing as well. So just want you to know, when we're speaking of the generations, we are thinking more broadly than just biological generations. I don't want any feelings of shame to prevent you from hearing that. And also just recognizing that there are people in this room who have poured their hearts into their kids, and their kids aren't following Jesus right now. So as we talk about this, we just want to hold the mystery of what is ours and what is God's, and just recognize that our faith being passed down to generations is something more than just us ticking all the right boxes. There is something mysterious that we don't get to have a say in. There is their own decisions, and there is God's plan and how he's meeting them and the timing of all of that. So just want to say, if we don't want the voice of shame, if there are any like prodigal kids represented in this group, we don't know all that it takes. But what we do know is one thing that's really important. It's not the magic bullet. but it's important, is those like firsthand experiences of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, we're not speaking about this as from a place of we've got it figured out. Our boys are 15 and almost 13, and so they're already pretty messed up, and we'll probably have times where we mess them up further, and hopefully we'll have times where we see God's healing and restoration in them. So we are not experts in this by any means. There's also in 1 John, we see a really important passage that talks about these firsthand experiences of Jesus. And it says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands and have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." These first-hand experiences of Jesus. When we think about those pictures that I showed at the beginning, I've got a rich heritage of people who follow Jesus. I have amazing stories of my great opa hiding Dutch and Jewish boys during the war in a network of secret homes and farms, and my grandfather on my mom's side was a pastor and traveled around, and I've got all these amazing stories, but I can't lean on those stories. I can let those inform a life of faithfulness, and I can let those stories reflect something to me about God's heart, but I desperately needed these formative moments for myself growing up, opportunities to serve, opportunities to see God at work and other people in my own life, opportunities to worship. There is an element that we can be grateful for a lineage of faith, and we can be also, I think there's a shadow side to that sometimes as well, that I might be able to say, well, I grew up in church, and I can pat myself on the back and say, I must be good. But that's not necessarily, that's not God's desire.
And if you are like a first generation in your family believer here this morning, praise God. Mm-hmm. Like, you are the beginning. We believe it's just the beginning.
Yeah. So all of God's story, right from the very beginning, is about generations. It's about this mission of God as a multi-generational endeavor. Right from the very first chapters of Genesis, we see this amazing promise that although things were broken and that relationship is not quite right anymore with God, there's a promise that someday the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. You know, we see these promises that, oh yes, God, you know, through Noah makes a promise that, don't worry, you know, things got destroyed and the world was full of sin and awfulness, but don't worry, eventually there's going to be a day where all things are made right. And so we live in this tension right now between God is redeeming and renewing all of creation in and through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that is something that is ongoing, but we have not quite yet arrived. And so we look forward and we wait to see this full and ultimate restoration. But in the meantime, we find our role. We find our role, and what does that look like for us as we are disciple makers, as we are disciples, as we follow Jesus with our families, with our spiritual generations, our disciples, things like that.
So we just want to share some stories from our lives and our ministry about what this has looked like. So just want to start with Envision. So as Pastor Daniel mentioned, like, and as we said at the beginning, we're a part of Envision, so we're like creating those cross-cultural experiences. And when Envision started, it was like about 10 years ago or so, and I remember like we were in our first term, so still feel like very new. And there was something advertised about Envision. I think it was like a mentorship program or something like that. And I was like, oh, that sounds sweet. And I looked it up and I realized that I did not fall in the age group that Envision was working with. I realized in that moment, oh, I'm not the young leader that they're wanting to pour into anymore. I had, by the way, received so much great mentorship in my journey to becoming an international worker. So it wasn't necessarily that I was in desperate need of it, but I still felt so new and like I had so much to learn. And that was true. And I did have people who could continue to walk with me, to build into me. But it was in that moment when I realized like, oh yeah, I'm not the young one anymore. Like there's a generation that is coming behind me and they need people to build into them. That was an aha moment for me, where I really felt God stirring and helping me to recognize, like, yes, I can continue to receive in mentoring relationships. I think that's awesome, and I always want to be learning from those who have gone before me. But it doesn't stop there. I also get to have the privilege of mentoring and pouring into the generations that are coming behind me. And so that really... for me anyway, was what sparked the desire to come alongside younger people in their formation as leaders and as they were and are discovering what God is inviting them into as far as global mission. And so we had the opportunity during our second term to come alongside Ray and Cindy Perry. And they had moved to Mexico when Envision started, to start an Envision site in Mexico. They had been receiving short-term teams for many years, and they were wanting to launch an internship program. So they invited Dan and I to come alongside of them in that, because they just didn't have enough time to be able to do all the things, but they really wanted to launch this program. So Dan and I were able to join in that, and that is how what got us going with Envision. And now, after our home assignment, we're going to Spain, and we're going to be launching an Envision site in Spain. And it's not because you can't go on a short-term trip with the Alliance anywhere, but just we want to provide specific opportunities that help in the development of young people and come alongside churches in that way. So with Envision, when we think about what does it look like to come alongside young people specifically, you don't have to be young to come on an Envision trip, but when we think specifically about young people, we are thinking intentionally about what it looks like to create the type of environments where they're going to grow. So I'm just wondering if you can think about a time in your life when you felt closest to God. Just think of a moment or a time where like it just felt like there was a lot of growth that was happening, or when his presence just felt the most precious to you. I'm guessing that for the majority of us, this came in a time of discomfort, probably. A time where we were being stretched or maybe just feeling desperate need in some way. Maybe that was a health journey. Maybe that was a crisis of what am I doing with my life. Maybe there was conflict. Whatever the case might be, it was probably a stretching moment and a time where we really needed to depend on God and we didn't have a whole lot of choice. None of us would be very willing to walk into those experiences, like choose that. We don't typically choose discomfort. But the way that we experience God through those moments is a really important part of how we grow as a disciple of Jesus. So if we want our kids to know God, like not just know about him, but to know him, keeping them free from discomfort is not going to help with that goal. But as a parent, I know that what I really want is to protect my kids from all of the pain that I may have suffered or that they could suffer. I've heard of someone else suffer about. And I think that is just a very natural parental instinct to want to protect our kids. But if we're thinking about it in a long-term way, or if we're thinking about what it looks like for them to truly know God, we just need to understand that there's probably going to be some discomfort involved. We want to come alongside them in that discomfort. It doesn't mean just like launch kids into hard stuff and hope that they don't sink. We want to come alongside them. And so with Envision, we work to create environments where young people are stretched outside of their comfort zone, but always have a safe place to come back to and process their experiences and learn from those experiences. And the key is that they can leave a short-term missions experience with stories of, I remember when God. So for a short-term team participant, this might sound something like, I remember when I was feeling nervous to give my testimony, but my team prayed for me, and after I shared my testimony, a kid there told me that my story had helped them to see that God could fill in the blanks. Or I remember when I prayed with the man in the park and he broke down weeping because he felt God's love. Or for someone maybe on more of an internship experience, it might be like, I remember when I realized through a conversation with my mentor that I was relying on Instagram to numb my feelings of homesickness and decided that the next time I was feeling that way, I was going to take some time with God to journal instead. And when it was my brother's birthday and I got off the video call and was feeling so sad that I couldn't be with him, I got out my journal and poured out my heart to God, and he met me to comfort me in my sadness. Or I remember when I felt God nudging me to tell my language tutor about a story from the life of Jesus that related to a problem she was going through. I was so scared, but I did it anyway, and afterwards she let me pray for her. Sometimes the stories might not be like, yay, look at what God did. Sometimes they're stories of discouragement and failure. But in all of this, we want to create spaces where we can share the highs and the lows and learn together. It helps to translate our knowing of God from simple information to a reality that we live and that has lasting impact on our discipleship with Jesus, on their discipleship with Jesus.
Yeah. If you want to know more about Envision, you can feel free to scan that QR code if you want. Otherwise, we do have cards and stuff and a table outside in the lobby. So if you go and visit with us, then that's even better. So that was the Envision story, the short-term team, the internship story. We got a couple other stories that we want to share. This one is about Alex and Sada. And Alex and Sada are two dear friends of ours. And when we were in Mexico, our first term, we were coming alongside this brand new church, and we were helping with starting a youth group and some music and being on the leadership team. And one of the things that we have felt really strongly and really a strong conviction of value of ours is that disciple-making should be able to happen organically and naturally in relationship. And so we were at this church, and I had this passion to use a model that I had used where you get together with one or two other people and you talk about kind of a list of questions about how you're experiencing the presence of God and where do you need healing from sin, the sin coming from you, the sin done to you, the sin around you. How's Holy Spirit speaking to you when you're reading scripture? What does obedience look like with that? And just a list of questions to help kind of check in regularly and see what God is up to and see growth. And so I shared this with the leadership of our church, and they were like, this sounds great. Let's launch a big program. And I was like, well, I don't know that that's the best way. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. It's amazing. So we launched this program, and it just kind of fell apart. It turned into people defaulted to what they knew really well, which was a bunch of Bible studies or getting together in small groups and complaining about whatever thing or whatever, you know, state of the world or politics or whatever. It didn't turn into a life-giving experience where people grew as disciples of Jesus and grew into the life of love. But because of that, Alex approached me. This was in our second term. He was like, dude, could you mentor me? Or like, could we go through this together? And I was like, yeah, look, absolutely. Let's do that. And so we would meet up every week. And there was a Tim Hortons that just opened up at the mall near our place in Mexico City. It was like, whoa, this is cool. So it felt very Canadian. Going to Tim Hortons, super strange, ordering a double-double in Spanish. Like, how do you order a double-double? Do they know what that is? And so, anyways, eventually I trained them what a double-double was so that I could order my double-double. And we would sit in Tim Hortons in Mexico City, and we would just open up our hearts, see what God was doing in each other's lives. And then afterwards, we would just kind of pace, do laps around the mall, and pray for our families, for our church, and different things. And then out of that, now Alex is actually doing exactly that with a couple other guys in the church. And so we do pray and continue to just hope in God and to see what is he going to do kind of organically. And the thing that is not, it's not super safe or it's not super easy to share your life openly with someone else, especially if there's a power dynamic or a cultural dynamic or an age thing. It doesn't feel very, very safe or easy, but it's something beautiful. It's something beautiful. And when you can create an environment where people do sense that they are secure, that is a real gift that we can have to offer to people. So, and yeah. And then Sara as well, if you want to share quickly about Sara or just...
No, just to say, we have always like had this desire to see that like generational form of discipleship, where you're discipling someone who then disciples someone else, who then disciples someone else. And it has kind of just been a longing. But what we're seeing with Alex and Sara is they are taking what they have experienced in this group, and they're like, wow, I've really come to know Jesus in a really deep way because of the way we have interacted with one another. And they have started coming alongside other people in that. So we're beginning to see that which we have prayed for a long time. So that's really cool. Now, again, this is something that we are walking through, not just as international workers. This is something that we are walking through as just human beings who have children. So these are our boys at various points in our international work journey. So this is at the Big Apple in Colborne.
Anyone
east
been
of
there?
Here. I don't know if you
know where that is.
Off the 401, you see a big
have
apple.
I've seen it. Yeah, very yeah. good. Yeah. Yeah, on the right hand side yeah. when you're heading towards Ottawa,
yeah.
left hand side when you're coming
Kingston,
back.
Yeah. yeah. And so the first picture is from just before we left Canada. We thought this sign was cool because it actually had like Mexico City and however many kilometers away. Super fun. So when we came back on our first home assignment, we went back to the Big Apple and we took a picture again, tried to recreate it, but didn't actually look at the picture. So we're holding opposite children. The whole recreation part didn't quite work out. But
they were not fans. No.
But you can see their growth. And then this last picture is this summer fall when we stopped in on the way back from Belleville one afternoon. So you can see they've grown a lot, and I promise you, in the last 6 months, they've grown a lot more. And so we kind of come full circle to the first story that I shared as we were getting ready to leave Canada the first time. But you see here in the first picture, they were 2 and 4 years old when we first left. And now they are 15 and almost 13. And it feels a whole lot different as we launch into a new place, leaving Mexico and going to Spain. It's a very different journey walking alongside our kids at this point. So our journey over the last year of saying goodbye to, I'm going to cry and it's okay, don't worry about me.
Does it all the time. When God touches her heart, the tears come out and it's just normal.
So our journey over this past year of saying goodbye to life in Mexico and to people who have become very dear to us. It's not been easy for us, but it's certainly not been easy for them. It's been an exercise in trusting God. Again. And that if he has called us to go to Spain, that calling includes them. And moving countries, unfamiliar places, facing challenges, all of that. We actually can't do anything to fully shield them from heartache that they have experienced and will experience in the midst of this transition as we walk out in obedience what we feel like God has called us to. We invited them into the process of praying about going to Spain, and we made the decision together, and I naively thought that was going to solve all of our problems. And it hasn't. It's still been, it's been hard. But just like we want to do with people who come to Spain to visit us on a short-term trip or an internship, we want to walk alongside our kids as they are processing all that this has meant for them. And we pray that those challenges that they are facing as they have said goodbye to a life that is known and look into a life that is completely unknown, we pray for them and we pray for us, that those very challenges would become the places where they encounter Jesus. So what if trying to keep their world safe and free of emotional distress would rob them of an opportunity to know God in a profound way? So we pray for their faith to grow vibrant, and we want to cooperate with the opportunities that God is calling us into, and of course provide a safe place for them to land, to express their sorrow and worries and doubts, but ultimately to point them to Jesus. We're learning this. And it's hard, but it's good. So as we wrap up here, we just want to speak a few things to a few different groups of people. So parent to parent, your calling includes equipping the next generation for theirs. So at some point, what I do or what I need to be focusing on not is just how do I be obedient to Jesus, it's how do I help my kids be obedient to Jesus. And we don't need to fix everything, but we do need to teach them where to bring everything. And this is the case also in discipling relationships. I think a lot of times we feel afraid for someone who we are discipling to go through a hard time, to experience doubt or those types of things. And we want to rescue people from those icky feelings. But it's actually, that might be a really important place for them not to be saved by you, but to be saved by Jesus. It might be a really important place where they are going to grow in understanding how God is interacting with them and can work through them.
And then to any young adults here, God has uniquely equipped you to reflect his image in the world and to bring God's blessing into those spaces. The world from a couple generations ago is very different than the world that you have grown up into and that you are swimming in and that you understand way better than the rest of us. And so see that not as I don't know. Previous generations, maybe we have this idea. We just kind of want to kind of keep things the way they were. But actually, we need you to walk into those spaces that are moving forward with or without old people like us. And so God has uniquely wired you to walk in confidently, learn what's going on, see what's happening, and then figure out where does redemption need to happen in those spaces. And where does reconciliation need to happen? Where is brokenness? Where does healing need to happen? And bring all that God has wired you for and built into you into those spaces as well. So, and maybe Envision can be a part of developing something like that. But also seeing what's going on in the life of this church. We're going to be over time, and I'm very sorry. There's help older people with their tech. I think that's happening today. What a cool thing. To walk into those spaces where you have an edge, which is incredible. Walking into the men's breakfast, which starts at 9 o'clock here instead of 8 o'clock at my home church, which is awesome for younger people. You get to sleep in a little bit. Maybe you show up, hang out with some men. If you're a dude, if you're a woman, find a women's breakfast. Find out what's going on. What can you learn? How can you grow in those types of ways? And then also to the chronologically advanced among us, the older people, the older saints, your ceiling becomes their floor. I don't know if you can picture sort of a small village in the developing world. I think of a lot of them in Mexico where you have the concrete homes. What's kind of sticking out the top? Anyone? Can picture that? You can speak it out if you want. Like the metal, the rebar, the reinforced steel that like kind of comes out of the top of the houses. That's not by accident. Usually in that part of the world, when you're building a house, you get the resources, you build part, and then once you get a little bit more resources, you build more, and you keep that rebar out there because it's much, much safer, especially in an earthquake-prone zone, to tie into the metal that it goes down to the foundation of the house instead of just having a flat surface on the top that's all nicely, you know, finished and concrete, and then you put a second level on that, the first earthquake, first little shake, it's going to slide and fall on the ground. So your ceiling becomes their floor. What are the ways that you are actually thinking, not just necessarily about your retirement? I think that's wonderful. My parents are retired and they're loving it. But what does it look like to say, I'm actually going to be preparing my ceiling that is going to have some things to tie into for the next generations that come after me? And what could that look like?
So as we come to a close here, we just want to offer you this little commissioning that every one of us, whatever our age, we're called to help another generation experience Jesus firsthand. So even if you are a young person here today, there are generations that are younger than you. I know this because all of the young ones are not in this room. And to remember that there are things that are not going to be completed in this generation, and that's okay. That's just how this whole thing works. I think of like big old cathedrals in Europe that you hear, like it took 300 years to build. And I think the people who started that died before it was finished. And the people who finished it were not at all a part of the beginning. But it was this multi-generational kind of thing. And the mission of God is a multi-generational endeavor. So we do just want to end with a quick time to reflect. We like to do this because the words of Dan and Jenica have limited value, but if God speaks to you in this moment, that is of eternal value. So I just want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment, if you feel comfortable.
And if worship team, you guys want to come up while we're doing this, that'd be great.
And we just want to tune our hearts to God and ask him a couple of questions as we finish off here. And just remember, we don't need to perform in this moment. This isn't about proving anything. It's just about giving God some space and opportunity to speak. So I just want you to consider this question with God right now. When you think about all this stuff, where does fear pop up? Just let God show you where fear might be popping up. God is really good at meeting us in our places of fear. What about desire? Holy Spirit, would you show these wonderful people here and online just like where something might be resonating, where you might be stirring up desire in their hearts? Help them to pay attention to that. And then finally, God, what is one step? What is the next step? What does this next step look like as we obey you in being about the generations? I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be obedient to the thing that you are calling us to. For the fears that have surfaced, we pray God, that your perfect love would move in and would just push that fear out, but also just empower us for the thing that we're feeling afraid about. And Lord, as you're stirring up desire in our hearts, as we think about what does it look like for me to pour into the next generation, I just pray that that you would continue to fan that into flame. And I just pray a blessing over this church and all of the ways in which they have been faithfully partnering with you, Holy Spirit, in passing on faith to the next generation. The next generation of younger people, the next generation of first-time believers, all of that. Thank you for how they are tuning in and they are walking in obedience. And I just pray a blessing over that. I pray that this would be a church that sends many people across the street and around the world. I pray that this would be a church that leans hard into you in faith, and encourage to release their young people to do the things that you're inviting them to do. I pray that you would bless homes, God, as it can be a fearful thing to release our young people into things that feel outside of our comfort zone. I pray that you would bless households to know your provision in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.